Welcome in, Loons fans, to another edition of Loon Talk. Jonathan Harrison here, joined once again by Voice of the Loons, Dan Terrar. Dan, how are we doing today? We got plenty to discuss on this edition of Loon Talk.
Yeah, we do. Doing great. Yeah, great match for the boys down in Charlotte, and a big match coming up at home. So, yeah, hey, anytime you get 3 points on the road, it's fun to talk about it.
Absolutely. 3 points and a shutout and three goals and a new formation and new players in the starting lineup. We've got a ton to talk about, so we'll jump into it. We've also previewing the big rivalry match this weekend for Minnesota between Sporting Kansas City. We've also got a quick look across the league. No AJ today, so we'll hold off on the accountability sessions. We'll just continue to add more picks. And then once we finally get all three of us all back together for the second time this season, I think.
Yeah.
11 weeks in or 10 weeks in at this point. Then we'll do an accountability session. But until then, we'll just keep adding stuff on. So let's jump right into this one, Dan. New formation, I think that's the biggest talking point. You had three at the back. Arriaga gets his first start of the season, but not as a midfielder. He's lining up right alongside Boxy and Devin Podelford as the center back trio ahead of Dane St. Clair. And boy, did they look really good on Saturday.
Yeah, the way that group back there flexed, depending on whether the ball was coming in from the right flank or the left flank, and they flexed, and it got Podelford and especially Yosef Rosales much more involved in the offense. That was fun to see. And it did not, obviously, by the 3-0 final, it didn't hurt them defensively either. So that's the bonus part of it. It added to the offense and didn't hurt the defense. So it's hard not to like that.
Absolutely. And you can't really say enough about what Podelford's done this season. I mean, he's getting his first batch of starts with MNUFC, and he's looked good, whether it's at left back or center back. He's just looked like a natural fit in whatever position they put him in, and he's done really well. And you really like to see that development come through from the academy, from MNUFC 2 up into the first team, because that's going to show out for potential future prospects that there is a pipeline to the first team, and that's what this team has been lacking for years at this point.
Yeah, and he made the MLS team of the match week, and this new formation might be perfect for him because he's not naturally a middle back, but in this formation, he gets to kind of do a little bit of both. They flex depending on which way the play is coming in from. So this might be good because he is young. He's very athletic. He's got great speed. Yeah, I mean, you got to think the upside for Podelford is huge right now. Mm-hmm. And they needed that. Somebody had to step up. Rosales has been having a good year, you know, but they needed another person to step up and take their game to that next level, along with Boxel. And when Tapias comes back, you know, they just needed that. And he seems to be that guy that's stepping up on defense.
Yeah, it'll be certainly interesting to see what happens to Podelford once Tapias does get back, because he's more of a left-sided defensive player. You're not going to have him move over to that right side on the opposite side of Boxy. Boxy's going to be that center middle back or the center back in that three if they continue to go with the three at the back. So it'll be interesting to see what Podelford does once Tapias is back. But with how this formation played and with how it seemed the players kind of just fit in wherever Eric Ramsey put him at the weekend, it seems like it's pretty flexible and that these guys are really willing to play whatever they put out on the field. And that's very exciting. The other big note, Tanny Olawashe getting the start, his first start of the season, Timu Puki on the bench. We don't know if it was necessarily performance related or if it was because they didn't want to have a 34-year-old playing on turf for much of the afternoon, but whatever reason, it worked out magnificently. Olawashe was great, scored the first goal of the game. And what a goal it was. What an absolutely incredible pass from Robin Lood and an absolute perfect strike. Great technique from Olawashe to kind of watch the ball come over his shoulder and then strike it first time on the volley and slot it into the back of the net.
Yeah, it was one of those goals that, you know, we've talked about how, you know, when Timu Puki came in and how we just want a guy that scores the goals they should score. And that's Timu Puki. I mean, he's going to score. He had 10 last year, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And he's on pace to be double digits again this year. But then you find a guy that scores goals he probably shouldn't. You know, to put a strike like that, curl it around the goaltender, hit the post, and go in. Okay, we don't get a lot of those, you know. We don't. We miss the net on those a lot, and send it wide. But that's what's kind of fun about this. I think you're right on with the, you know, Connie has deserved time with what he's done off the bench. Mm-hmm. And it might have just felt like to Coach Ramsey, this is a good opportunity. It's turf. And by the way, Tani's speed will be more of a problem on turf. And it was. And so it might have just been the right time to give him a well-earned start in the lineup. I think it has more to do with that than it does with anything that Pukki's doing or not doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with what he's been able to do coming off the bench, just give Timo Pukki a little bit of a rest, have him come on as a substitute on a difficult environment where you went in, and I don't think many of us expected to win considering Charlotte's home form over the last year, only one loss since May 20th of last year. So it's not, despite them being a very mid-card team in this league, they have been absolutely excellent at home, and Minnesota made the road their home this weekend in a place that usually doesn't do it, and that's because of what Oluwaseye and Robin Lode were able to do in the attack. And don't let Franco Fragapane's game go to the side either. He was pretty excellent as well on that left wing. The attacking trio for Minnesota was absolutely outstanding with the way they set up to play. They were very fast in getting the ball into the attack and not really wasting a lot of time in the midfield. When they got the ball back, it was immediately into the attack, trying to break those lines. And Tani Oluwaseye was able to find nice runs in between the center backs, and Robin Lode was able to just kind of ping passes left and right into Oluwaseye's feet over throughout the afternoon.
Yeah, pretty a solid 90 minutes on the road. And you know, you look at it, well, there's always matches that, you know, teams kind of go, okay, this might be a throwaway. And this might have been one they thought, okay, what do we got to lose? This team is almost impossible to beat at home. We've been struggling with consistency. We've played good in the second half lately, started poorly, gotten behind a lot lately. So why not give Tani Oluwaseye his chance? Why not give Franco a start? He's earned a start in his backup play as well. And then let's try a little slight formation adjustment and see what Kervin Arriaga can do, because he's a young, strong midfielder that brings a lot of everything to the match, a lot of energy, a lot of aggression. And so it was the right time, and look what you found out. You found out you got some really things that are going well for you. And all that really does is make it hard to decide what you're going to do on Saturday when you come back home. You just, you know, we knew what Adrian Heath was going to do. If they won 3-0 on the road, unless there was an injury, there would be no changes.
Yep.
Absolutely not. We don't know that about Eric Ramsey. He might say, okay, I learned something there, but I need to get back to, you know, this person and this person. I need to get Pukki back in there. You know, so you don't know. That's what'll be interesting coming up. But yeah, that was a great situation, and you know, not expected at all. No.
No, absolutely not. So let's, I guess, jump into the biggest question of the week is, what would you do if you're the head coach? I mean, you've got this striker who just can't stop scoring goals, can't stop being dangerous in Tani Oluwaseye. But one of your designated players is also a highly paid Finnish forward who's bagged over 100 goals throughout his career and has shown that he can do it at this level. Hasn't been as electric maybe this season as he was at the end of last season, but Timo Pukki does get in those dangerous areas. He plays that forward position like they want him to, hassling the defense and really showing out in that department where many people didn't think he would. But Tani Oluwaseye continues to score goals, continues to use his pace expertly, is young, is dangerous, and is really in a hot run of form. Who are you choosing up top for the Loons this weekend?
I always feel like I would go, if I were in that situation, I would stay with the hot hand. It doesn't mean that Tani is now the starter. He may be starting, but Timo Pukki's our starter. But you got to stay with the hot hand. And if he struggles at all, you bring him up. But how do you bench a guy that's scoring every time you put him on the pitch? I mean, you got to let this play out. And I think that either Tani Oluwaseye is going to be, you know, making a run for the golden boot at some point, or Timo Pukki's back in as a starter. So, and if it's Tani, it's Tani. I mean, let him play this out. Is he going to stay hot or is he going to come back down to earth a little bit? But yeah, I just think you got to stay with the hot hand.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm with you in that it's no disrespect to what Robin Lode has done here, or not Robin Lode, Team Apuki has done here,
yeah,
and what he's done in his career. But right now, every time Tani Oluwaseyi steps on the pitch, he's either assisting goals, scoring them, or coming dangerously close to scoring goals. He just seems like he knows he's in the right areas at all the right times. And you don't want to take that away from a young kid who's finally building up confidence in himself, especially after what he did last year with San Antonio, scoring, what was it, 16 goals in 27 appearances. He's the best striker in the USL Championship, and he's shown to be one of the best super subs in this league this season. And he showed out in his first start. I don't think you take that away from him. I think you keep riding, as you said, ride that hot hand until it kind of peters out. And right now, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon.
No, you don't want him on the bench to start if he's playing that well. That's just my opinion. And I think Pookie would say the same thing. No, the kid is on fire. I wouldn't, he'd probably make the same, if it was up to him, he'd probably make the same decision. And he's ready. He's going to get his reps in. He's going to get his minutes in. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, stay with what's working right now. And I mean, we don't talk about 3-goal performances all that often as broadcasters for Minnesota United. And I don't take that lightly. Something went very, very right down in Charlotte. And man, I would like just to see that, see if they can continue that at home.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and heck, who knows, maybe it ushers in a formation change where we play with the rare 2-striker system, Dan. We play with 2 guys up top and see what
Are
those guys
crazy?
Can
do. Have you lost your mind?
Man, I've wanted to see 2 strikers for a long time. You rarely see it in soccer these days. If we could do that here, it'd be a blessing. Would love to see that.
You know what? Sometimes you got to change things up a little bit. So
Robin Lode is a number 10. He's putting up the numbers of any other number 10 in this league, up with the best of them. Why not have him as a number 10? Go with a couple of midfielders behind them and see what you can do with that. Go 3-5-2, why don't you? I mean, we almost did it this weekend.
I'd put that Finnish army knife anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. He's putting up – Robin Lode's having an incredible season. Goals and assist totals, he's up there with Lionel Messi and Chicho Arango, who are at the top of the Golden Boot race. Just based on goals and, well, for Messi, assists as well. But Chicho Arango is just scoring goals and goals and goals, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But Robin Lode's absolutely showing, continuing to show, and we talk about this every week, his impact. And it kind of feels, the more you watch Robin Lode this season, you understand that without him last season, what they were missing and why they missed the playoffs for the first time in 5 years.
Yeah, you don't look and don't even try to, Don't blame Adrian. Don't blame anything else. This team right now, and we thought the last couple of years that, the kind of the center of this team, the backbone of this team, was Emmanuel Reynoso. And what we learned last year, to me, it was clear it was not. It's Robin Lode.
Yeah.
He's the guy that should be on the posters. He's the guy that you should be, focusing everything around, because that guy is one of the smartest players in the league. He's underrated as far as his skills in tight spaces. But I think if he stays healthy, knock on wood, by the All-Star break, we may know. The rest of the league might have to pay attention more to Robin Lode.
By the All-Star break, he might be in the All-Star team.
Exactly. Because of how well he's playing. That level. So, you know what? Let's just keep him healthy and, it's fun. I just so much enjoy watching Robin play, because he does it with so much class. He's such a humble guy, he's all team first, and he's a great leader.
Absolutely. So that means the Loons break their 3-match winless run. They get their third win on the road this season, which it seems like at this point they are more comfortable on the road than they are at home. That needs to change. We said that last year. It's kind of flowed over into this year a little bit, but you feel like that with the way they played at home outside of that Houston game, where it felt like for the majority or for large chunks of it, there was questions about, it felt like it was just a different match in that Houston game. But for the most part, it feels like this team is growing in confidence and getting there to the point where the home form is going to turn around. And hopefully that happens this week against Sporting Kansas City, who over the length of this rivalry, since both teams have been in Major League Soccer, 14 wins for Sporting Kansas City, 6 wins for Minnesota, 4 draws between the two sides. That includes the season finale shellacking last year in Kansas City, which we can get into the road form at Kansas City later on when we go down there. But
let's not.
How do the Loons start to kind of turn the tide in this rivalry, as MLS wants to call it? I don't know that it's really a true rivalry because of the geographics of the two teams, but how do they start changing the tune of this rivalry and start getting the better of Kansas City?
Yeah, well, you got to win at home, you know, because they've had such a hard time winning in Kansas City. It starts with winning at home, and you're coming into a good situation right now. You're coming off a big road win. You're pretty much healthy and feeling good. So this is a good time to start that. But I don't know that. I feel like the MLS manufactured this rivalry, because I think at some point they said, okay, every team has to have a rivalry.
Well, yeah,
it doesn't always work that way. We're kind of on an island here. Geographically, closest team is probably Chicago.
Yeah, and they're not miles in our conference. Right? Yeah,
and they're not absolutely in our conference. So if you're going to have a rival, it'd be Chicago. They're not in our conference. So you can't manufacture a rivalry. I feel like for Minnesota, their true rival is, you know, whoever they've played
at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, who have we played lately? Who have we had some great matches with? Who did we play in the playoffs and have a memorable moment, good or bad, with? But yeah, I don't look at this as being, you know, here comes our arch enemy. But yeah, you're gonna change the narrative in this whole series of games with Sporting KC. It starts at home, and this feels like a pretty good time to start that.
No, I have their true rivalry, Dan. Their true rival in Major League Soccer is Emmanuel Reynoso's attendance.
What? Heard from the background.
Yeah, we got the little kid here. He's complaining because he wants some attention.
He wants, just give him a snack and move on.
I gave him some milk earlier. What's up, dude? You want to talk on the podcast?
He wants to know where Emmanuel Reynoso is.
Who doesn't?
Ray?
One second. I'm going to go see what he's doing. You talk about Minnesota United for a second.
Ray, yeah. But that, you know, I don't look at that as being a huge rivalry. I think that that it may develop into that, but especially do we want a rivalry where we can't win in their building? So, yeah, I don't know. It'd be nice. You know, we don't have the, you know, the I-94, you know, derby or anything like that. But so it's okay. I'm all right. Because as a Minnesota sports fan, you know, we have Green Bay with the Vikings, but other than that, the Wild don't have a true rival that you really feel like is passionate. The Timberwolves don't, Twins don't. So yeah, let's just see. We'll see how it develops.
Well, the Sporting Kansas City side that's coming in to Allianz Field this weekend, a possible rainy, stormy Allianz Field, which will be fun at that. Yeah. They've blown losses in three of their last five games. They've won one of the other ones, a 3-1 win against Toronto. But they had a Wild one this weekend against their in-state rival, St. Louis City, which that rivalry continues to produce excellent games between those two sides. This one was a 3-3 draw that was settled with a 91st-minute goal by St. Louis City. So Sporting Kansas City a little weak in the second half in the later moments of the game, which is good because that tends to be when Minnesota plays their best. And they showed it the past couple weeks that they are a much better second half team than they are first half team. And that plays out, that bodes well for this game this weekend.
Yeah, it does. I mean, on paper, that's one thing. I don't know how it'll play out on the pitch at Allianz Field on Saturday, but yeah, on paper, it looks like, you know, this points to a good day for Minnesota. But this early in the year, you know, I've only watched maybe 15 minutes total of Sporting Kansas City this year. I will get, you know, I'll quadruple that here in the next few days as we lead up to the match. So I don't have a feel for where they're at, but just looking at their results, how they've played, they're struggling a bit right now. And yeah, it feels like a good time for Minnesota to get them. And I want to see back-to-back matches for Minnesota, especially coming home where they need to establish some dominance. I want to see a quick start. And we saw that going back to matches 1 through 3. three really quick starts, even more so than we saw down in Charlotte. Those first three matches, they were just buzzing all over the opponent's final third, putting pressure on the goaltender. And I think a lot of that was Franco Fragapane, and Song Bin was out, and he's got that speed to do that. And so I just want to see a quick start at home and get the fans into it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a Sporting Kansas City side that has scored the tied for third in scoring goals in the Western Conference, but also tied for, or not tied, they are third for goals allowed in the Western Conference. They've scored 17, allowed 16 this season. So they're scoring by the bucketful, but also letting them in by the bucketful as well. So there's going to be, it feels like this is going to be a very back and forth match where it's just going to be end to end. There's not going to be a whole lot of time wasted in the midfield. It's going to be two teams just attacking the hell out of each other. And that leads to an exciting match. We'll see how the weather plays into it. That could make things a little bit sloppy, but for the most part, I'm really looking forward to this match and seeing Minnesota. I know Kansas City are down in 10th place. They haven't had the start that they wanted, but they didn't last year either. But I'm really looking forward to seeing this Minnesota team that knows Sporting Kansas City is kind of their bogey team over the past couple of years, really test themselves against a team that might have a psychological advantage just because of how they played against each other over the past couple of years. See if some changes this year can help them kind of break this mold and break out of this funk against Kansas City.
I think that this is going to be a fun match. And you know what's kind of fun going into it is coming off a really good match, but not knowing if there could be four changes in the lineup.
Yeah.
There could be. I'm not saying there will be or there should be, but there certainly could be if Song Bin comes back, if you decide you want to get Bongi back in the starting lineup, if you decide to start Pukki. And here's the cool thing, Jonathan. There could be three, four changes. And you can't look at any of those changes being bad change. They're all, you know, could be taken as positive or at least a lateral shift. So that's cool to have that kind of depth and those kind of players that you could move into the starting lineup and still put out a pretty good product. So I'm just excited to see what the lineup's going to be for Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Song Bin. He took a knock over the week on international duty. He's gone for the next couple weeks. Helping South Korea qualify for the Olympics. But he took a knock. It looked scary at the time because he stretched it off the field. But we got the update from Eric Ramsey yesterday that it was just a cramp. He's all fine. They are monitoring the situation, but he's fine. So hopefully he continues to stay healthy and returns to this club at the beginning of next month, injury-free and ready to keep on running like he has been for the previous couple weeks. But now let's jump into our lacrosse league. Plenty of action from this weekend, from this last weekend, Dan. I already mentioned that Sporting Kansas City game. That was the most exciting one of the weekend. 3-3 between those two sides. But Chicho Arango, my guy Chicho Arango for Real Salt Lake, bagging a brace against Chicago in a 4-0 rout of the Chicago Fire. But that means Chicho Arango is above Lionel Messi, is the leader in the Golden Boot race. And dare I say, with how well Real Salt Lake are playing this season, up in third place, they've got the leading goal scorer. Dare I say, Chicho Arango MVP?
Wow, already
over Lionel Messi? Well, no, not already, but like he's definitely in that race. He deserves to be at the top of that conversation with what he's meant to Real Salt Lake this season, scoring over half their goals.
Yeah, he's a game changer for them, and all of a sudden they're confident and they're playing so well behind him. Yeah, a lot of times I see teams early in the year and you go, yeah, I don't know if they can keep this up. I'm pretty sure they can. So that's going to be fun to watch. But yeah, I don't think I'm ready to concede yet to Lionel Messi. I think these two might come down to these two neck and neck all season long.
Yeah, and Chicho's going to have to keep scoring goals as at a lethal pattern as he has in his MLS career, where he's shown that he knows how to score goals and keep them flowing. That doesn't really feel like there's an off switch for his goals going in this league. One of the other notable results, a absolutely wild Cali Classico between LA Galaxy and San Jose Earthquakes. One of the better actual rivalries in this league is between those two California sides. And this one was just all over the place. LA Galaxy going up a couple goals to none before San Jose started piling in goals. And it was all LA Galaxy scoring four by the 56th minute, but LA or San Jose scoring in the 72nd minute and looking like they had a chance to kind of break out of their early season funk, but they end up losing to end up 1-8 on the season. San Jose is losing to LA Galaxy, who are at the top of the Western Conference at 5-1-3 on the season. So San Jose really need to find a way to break out of this funk and kind of be a competitive team. Otherwise, it's going to be a very, very, very long season for Quakes fans.
You kind of get the feeling that they threw everything they could into that match and they still didn't come away with the result. So, yeah, that might have been a tough loss to them. That might just spiral them further downward, because that seemed like for a while that was their opportunity. And but the Galaxy is, I don't know, most improved team.
Offensively,
or is that go to Salt Lake, Real Salt Lake? I don't know.
No, it's definitely the Galaxy are the most improved team. Offensively, defensively, as San Jose shown, they continue to be a wreck, allowing 15 goals this season, scoring 21, so that's going to help them. But LA Galaxy continue to be the most improved team. They're sitting at the top of the Western Conference after missing the playoffs for the past couple of years. They're exciting to watch because offensively, they are a joy to watch. They're going to score goals on you no matter what you do. But defensively, it is wild back or in the LA Galaxy back line, and they're not really stopping a whole lot of teams from scoring. So they have to just win in shootouts week in and week out. So it'll be interesting to see how that one continues on. As I said, no accountability sessions this week, but Dan, let's jump right into the predictor. Why don't you get us started?
Yep. Predictor. We picked three matches, including the upcoming Minnesota United match. You picked a winner or a draw and the score. You get a point for the result and a point for the score. Exactly correct, which hardly ever happens. So who's up first?
Let's start with you. I'll go first and write that down.
Okay. I'm going to go right to the Minnesota Sporting KC match because I want to get my score in there, because you'll probably take it if I don't. I think Minnesota stays on a roll, and I think they win at home on Saturday 2-1.
Okay. I like that scoreline 2-1. I'm going to go 3-2. I'm going to go, despite Minnesota being pretty good at the back this season, tied for second best defensive form in the league or in the Western Conference, 9 goals allowed, only behind Houston, who only allowed 8 this season. I think there'll be some goals in this one. Sporting Kansas City just know how to get the best of Minnesota from time to time. But I think Minnesota eke it out in the final moments with a late goal by Tani Oluwaseyi again.
Wow.
3-2 wow. Minnesota.
Okay. What I need to know, is that off the bench or is that as a starter he gets the goal?
We'll see. Maybe that's a teaser for write that down.
I'd like to know.
All right. So for my second one, LA Galaxy hosting Austin FC. LA Galaxy at the top, as we said, Austin kind of been mired in the middle of the Western Conference. They're a little bit better than they were last year, but that only means 8th place in the Western Conference. I'm going to go another wild one there. I'm going to go 4-2 LA Galaxy.
Wow. Okay. I also picked that match, but I put that one down as Austin 2, LA Galaxy 2, a draw.
Okay, I like it. Your third and final one of the week.
LAFC versus Portland. Ooh. I went back and forth on this one, and finally I said, okay, if I can't decide, then I'm going to go with another draw. I'm going to go a 1-1 draw.
Okay, I like it. I'm going for my final one, Philadelphia hosting Real Salt Lake. Ooh. And as we mentioned, Chicho Arango, my favorite, my early season favorite for MVP. He's going to continue to bag some goals on the road against the Philadelphia side that's shown to be pretty good this season. It's going to be a 2-2 draw between those two sides.
Oh, I thought, I see you threw me a curveball. I thought for sure you were going to, you're going to pick a win for Real, but okay. All right.
2-2 draw between those two sides. Philadelphia's too good at home.
That's probably Minnesota the best. Experience. That's probably maybe if you had to pick the best match of the weekend, that might be it, huh?
It's up there, yeah. I mean, you can't really say Miami's match is the best this weekend because they're just going to cakewalk over New England, who are just a train wreck this season. So they're out of the race. Colorado and Cincinnati might be up there for one of the better matches, just because Colorado's actually shown to be pretty dang good under Chris Armas. Cincinnati are starting to kind of come to life after a very good season last year. Poor start this season, but they're starting to come to life. That might be a good one. Vancouver, New York Red Bulls, two teams at the top of their conferences. Red Bull's the best team, one of the best teams in the league. Vancouver, both teams second place in the Western or in their respective conferences. That might be up there. There's a lot of good matches this weekend.
Yeah, there's some good men. We'll do some scoreboard watching this weekend.
Absolutely, we'll have to. So that means it's time for Write That Down. It is our other soccer-related prediction segment we do every week whenever we decide to record. We make three soccer-related predictions. Don't have to necessarily be score lines. We'll keep track of them. Whenever AJ gets back, we'll run through the accountability session. Whoever has the most correct predictions at the end of the season will win the coveted golden boot. And so that means let's get to our predictions since we have no accountability session. I'll start off here. Kenny Oluwaseyi, as I said, will score a late goal as a starter. He's going to play the full 90 minutes. What? Write that down.
What? That's almost insane.
Yep. Write that down, Dan.
Wow. You know what? That would be, I could almost go in defense on that one, but I would feel bad taking a point from you. Dane St. Clair, next three matches, Sporting Kansas City, then Atlanta, then the LA Galaxy, will give up three or fewer goals total in those three matches.
Ooh, I like it.
Write that down.
Been talking about how we need a big game from him.
That's right. He had one big save last week.
That's all he was asked to do.
That's all he had to do, right? So I think that with that defense in front of him, yeah, I think he's going to be in a groove here.
That's good. All right, your second prediction?
Second one. I'll stay with the squad. Saturday at home at Allianz, there will be a goal from Teemu Pukki, which goes against what you just said, because according to what you're saying, Teemu's not going to play at all.
So, I didn't say that.
Because, yes, you did.
Because, in fact, write this down, Dan. At some point on Saturday, both Teemu Pukki and Tanni Oluwaseyi will be on the field at the same time. Write that down. I don't know whether there's going to be a formation switch, whether they're going to go two strikers. Write this down. They will both be on the field at the same time at one point or another, playing, not just passing ships passing in the night as they're substituting on and off.
At you've some had point, way too much chocolate milk.
I have actually had none lately.
You're on some kind of a weird buzz.
All right, my final prediction of the week, write this down. Chicho Arango scores both goals for Real Salt Lake this weekend. He scores two goals for Real Salt Lake. That is the prediction. Two goals for Chicho Arango this weekend. Write that down.
Now you're really okay, I can't take it anymore. My third and final one, Chicho Arango will not score this week.
At all?
Shutout.
Oh, wow. That's more than a defense. You're kind of going for a – you're going a little
it's
bit
–
going personal. For a triple there.
It's Jeez. Personal. Yep.
That's fair. All right. That's been write that down. Once we get AJ back, once he's done planning for draft stuff, you know, that's important and stuff. Vikings hopefully picking a quarterback. That's a different podcast for a different day.
Truth be known, he's out getting his beard cleaned. So
who does
that? And usually he takes a couple days off for that. Takes a while to recover.
Need some rest and recovery after the traumatic experience.
It's a lengthy process, so.
All right. Well, eventually all three of us will be back on the show together.
Someday.
Don't know when, but someday we'll all three of us get back together, and then we'll do accountability sessions, and then we'll talk heavily about what we've seen so far this season, because Dan, it's been really fun this season, and I hope it continues throughout the rest of the season. It has been really fun to see these guys develop in new systems, in new ways, and looking forward to it this weekend when Minnesota United take on Sporting Kansas City, 7:30 p.m., kickoff 7 p.m. pre-match show with Dan Terrar and myself on 1500 ESPN. You can also listen to our broadcast on the Apple TV call. Just hit the circle with the three dots in it and switch your audio feed to the home radio, because let's be honest, Dan, we're more fun.
And we care.
Yeah, we care.
We care.
That's it. We care.
I bet you thought you'd never see me make that with my fingers, make that heart thing.
Nope, I definitely didn't expect you to make the heart-shaped hands thing.
You'll never see it again.
Well, for those of you watching on the YouTube videos, you just saw that, and you're all as uncomfortable as I am. So
can't wait.
Congratulations.
Can't wait for Saturday. Let's go.
Absolutely looking forward to it. Dan, we'll talk to you then. Loons fans, we'll talk to you right back here next week on Loon Talk.
See you.